Well, I am really qualified to do this message tonight. And I am really unqualified to do this message tonight. Let me explain what I mean by that. I love people. I just genuinely love meeting different people. And I mean, I could hang out at an airport and just to meet different people. And I have this paradox within me. I have a very low need to be around people. So I love people. But if I never went to a party the rest of my life, I'd be fine. I mean, I would just be fine. You want to make me just sweat? Just make me go to a party. As I'm just not, I just don't have a need to be around people. But I love people. So there's this weird paradox going on within me. So tonight, as we focus on digital realities and relationships, I am really qualified to do this because I can tell you as a person who is more on the introvert side of the scale and who doesn't have a high need to be around people, I'm really comfortable being in solitude by myself. I've never really felt that lonely, you know. I've never really have. Leadership's a little lonely, but I've never. But on the other side of that, I've also seen, because I've been in church for 30 years now, the unbelievable difference it makes in your life to grow in relationship. So I'm really qualified to do this. I'm really unqualified to do this. I'm not sure which. But if you're here tonight, and especially if you're not a Christian and you're just wondering about all this, I just want you to know we understand how hard this is, this relationship thing, especially in this era, because digital realities have amped up some things in our lives that are challenges to overcome. And I'm going to talk about those in the next few minutes. I was talking with my daughter yesterday. She loves Pinterest. Anybody ever get on Pinterest? It's a site, it's an app where you get all these creative ideas. You get all these creative ideas. Where our grandson, Gage, his two-year birthday is tomorrow. We'll be leaving here and going to Columbus to celebrate Gage's two-year birthday. It's like a Passover feast, man. I mean, everybody's coming from all over. It's like Prince William's birthday, man. And she told me yesterday, she goes, yeah, I love Pinterest. But you can't just put streamers and balloons out there anymore. Because Pinterest has amped up the stakes, right? I mean, you throw a birthday party, it's just this side of a wedding reception now. Because everybody's got all these great ideas. It's a Thomas the Train theme, and the cupcakes are going to be laid on these tracks in the colors of Tom. I mean, it's like, wow. So on the one side, we see this, that the digital realities are amazing, right? I mean, what digital realities have done to open up, amazing. But on the other side, amazing, right? Am I right or am I right or am I right? It's also amped up some things. And that is true when it comes to relationships. So my good friend, Sherry Turkle, the professor at MIT, I'm just joking, I wish I knew her, but she's just my hero on this stuff. She has written an excellent book on this. I would highly recommend if you have students, if you're raising kids and you want to know what's now and what's coming in the digital reality, her book, Alone Together. Alone Together is an excellent, excellent book. And I'm just going to let her do the introduction here. Look at these words from Sherry Turkle. Why we expect more from technology and less from each other. She said, it's a long quote, but look at these words. Every time you check your phone in company, what you gain is a hit of stimulation. It's dopamine. Oh, yeah. A neurochemical shot. And what you lose is what a friend, a teacher, a parent, a lover, a coworker just said, just meant, just felt. You lose that. Human relationships are rich and they're messy and they're demanding, and we clean them up with technology. Texting, email, posting, all these things let us present the self as we want to be. This is interesting. We get to edit, and that means we get to delete, and that means we get to retouch the face, the voice, the flesh, the body. Texting offers just the right amount of access, just the right amount of control. She is a modern Goldilocks. For her, texting puts people not too close, not too far, but at just the right distance. And then look at these words. In another quote, she says, as we distribute ourselves, we may be abandoning ourselves. This is a new non-negotiable, that to feel safe, you have to be connected in this digital reality. To feel safe, you have to be connected. And so there's this paradox going on. That you may have a person who has 100 followers, 100 friends on Facebook, and yet they're lonely, right? Because, you know, if a billion people are using Facebook worldwide, isn't that wonderful? There are a billion people who aren't lonely. And that's not true, is it? It's not true at all. That the more we're distributing ourselves, the more we're actually losing something is her prognosis. I mean, we could have Sherry Turkle here tonight just delivering this message because, again, I'll just say it, her book, Alone Together, is, I'm just giving it to you in about a half an hour of what the scripture says and that there's nothing that can take the place of human relationship and even in regards to your relationship with God. She tells about one of her young men that she was in her research, she interviewed. And she was stunned by this statement right here. She said, he said, I just wish I could be the person that I am online. I wish I could be the person that I am online. I wish I were more like I am online. And this is the digital reality. That there's this ideal self we're able to present. And is it getting in the way of the real self and the ability to really connect? Sherry Turkle says we're losing that ability. We're losing that ability because digitally, when I communicate with you over long distances, that's wonderful, right? But if I'm using digital technology to communicate to the person in the next room, now we've got problems and we do that. So it's wonderful long distance, but up close, it just, you just miss things. You miss tone. You miss facial expressions. And there's a whole generation that's losing the ability to read that and is settling for texting and email, etc. How would you react? Look at this text. How would you react if you got this text? We need to talk. Now, wives, if you want to scare your husband to death, just send that text right there. That's the text he dreads. It will elicit in him a four-letter word. Mama! I mean, that's just like, oh my gosh. Because there's just all kinds of things missing with that, correct? There's all kinds. That could mean anything. I mean, that phrase, we need to talk, it's scary in person when you can see facial expressions and tone. Because you may still misread it. Probably have. But when it comes to text message, I mean, there's so much missing there. Agreed? Agreed? Now, if you get this from your wife, we need to talk. And then next to it is a smiley face. Oh, that could be really good. Like if there's a heart next to that, you're leaving work early, okay? I mean, you're taking, you know, you're giving up your sex Sabbath that I talked about last week, right? Yeah, you're giving that up, right? But there's just so much that's missing in digital communication, and there are just some things that should never happen digitally. There's just some things that should never happen digitally. And what I want to do tonight is talk about five things that the digital communication can do, and then with that, five things you should never try to do digitally, okay? So last week we looked at how to be tech-wise, 9 commitments that hopefully you made with me to be tech-wise. But tonight I just want to focus on the one where we talked about, where we talked about community, not popularity. This is that one little piece last week expanded into a whole message, and I'm just going to lead you right now into this, that this is, if you're interested in God, you got to get this tonight. If you want to have a relationship with God, you have got to get this. Because your relationship with God is intricately woven into your relationship with people. You cannot avoid it. You cannot avoid it. Cannot avoid it. I saw, you know, family is obviously where we see that because some of the biggest stumbling blocks we have in our relationship with God is our family. And I saw a great title this week of a book about family difficulties and challenges. And the title of the book was, Wherever You Go, They're Still There. They're Still There. Isn't that true with family? That so many of us, we want to have this relationship with God. And we find the people close to us get in the way. And so often we realize that the reason we want to clean up our lives is we want to have this great relationship with God, but we want to hit delete when it comes to the difficult people in our lives, and some of those people live under our roof. And it doesn't work that way. Look at these words from 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Right there. You cannot separate your relationship with God from people. Right? You cannot do it. Next, verse 11. Dear friends, since God has so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. And I want you to know that that happening in your life, your phone may be getting in the way. It may not be helping. And I want to alert you to that and be real practical about this. John Townsend is a psychologist, and many of you have read his books on boundaries and such, and he has a graph where he talks about this, how many of us, especially when we come to church, we just want this relationship with God, and we still have bitterness and resentment and things we need to forgive, but that's separate, right, from my relationship with God. Because I don't have to deal with people when I'm dealing with God. And so he says, many of us live on this line. We come out of this, you know, we've been far from God and we've been dealing with people, right? We've been dealing with people our lives. And some of us, that's actually what brought us to God. Okay? That's what brought us to God. And life is lived on this line right here. And we come to God and we get baptized and we just, you know, we live over here. We just live over in this area. And he said, in actuality, you'll eventually drift from God because the very people you're trying to push out of your life. Now, I'm not talking about dangerous people. I'm not talking about unsafe people. I'm just talking about people that you live and work and with and live beside, that you cannot live on this plane, but that real freedom is lived here. It's when we turn from that and we realize that these two are commensurate, that my relationship with God, my relationship with people go hand in hand. As a matter of fact, God uses people and some of the difficult people in your life to reveal things about you. Right? He does. You know, if all I did was stay in our prayer room and pray all the time, I would start feeling so holy. Because I wouldn't have to deal with people. There's a reason why there were monks, man. You feel a lot more holy when you're not around people, when you're not talking to the people. But the minute you go back and, you know, to live above with those we love, oh, that'll be glory to live below with those we know. Now, that's another story, right? I mean, that's all another story. And so we want to live here. And sometimes the digital communication potentials allow us to kind of clean this up. So let's look at this. Let's look at this. Let's look at what are the five things that can be done digitally and can't be done. So here's number one. Number one is, go to the next slide, guys. Width can happen digitally, but depth can only happen in person. In other words, you can have 100 followers and 100 friends. You can have width, but that probably is going to get in the way of authentic connection depth. That can only happen with the whites of the eyes. With the whites of the eyes. Remember these words? Remember these words last week? Proverbs 18:24. That a person who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And do you know that psychologists have proven this over and over again? Almost always it comes back to this number. No person can adequately care for more than 9 people at any given time. 9 people. And some of us have a thinner bandwidth than that. And if you have a dud for a husband, you're probably, that's the only person that's, you know, you can care for. You may have 100 friends, but that's the first part of Proverbs 18:24. Depth is only going to happen as you spend years. I'm not talking about days or weeks or months. As you spend years building relationships that are way beyond thumbs up and thumbs down. They're way beyond friending and unfriending. Okay? So you can, I mean, width is great. Some of us love to have 1,000 friends. That's fine. But that's not the second half of Proverbs 18:24. Make sure you understand that. That you may go wide, but you're not going to go deep. Second one. Here's the second one. Is impressions can happen digitally, but vulnerability can only happen in person. Impressions can happen digitally. In other words, you can impress people from a distance, but you only influence people and are truly influenced by people up close. Okay? So the people that you really know heart to heart, and there's an intimacy, that they see you at your worst, They have seen you at your worst. That's really the only way you're going to truly connect. So don't mistake impression for intimacy. It's real easy to do. Some of you are growing up in an era where all you've known is this digital reality. There are a lot of us, I'm old like me, and we are immigrants to this reality. There are some of you in this room right now, you are natives to this, and if you don't watch it, you'll miss this truth. There's a big difference between impressions and intimacy. And this is just so cool, some of the stuff that God put in the scriptures, isn't it? And some of the best stuff God put in the scriptures is the fact that his leaders were presented warts and all, like very vulnerable. Even Jesus didn't try to image manage when he was in the garden by saying, you know, hey guys, I'm kind of having a tough day here. He just said, no, my soul is overwhelmed to the point of sorrow that I want to die. I mean, there was no image management. Well, there's this great section of scripture in Romans chapter 7 where the apostle Paul just simply puts it this way. When he's talking about our need for Christ and his grace, he says, I don't understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. And as it is no longer myself to do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know the good that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Is there anyone here? By the way, there are more I do's in that than a Las Vegas chapel on a Friday night, isn't there? Yeah. I mean, woo! Yeah. Is there anyone here who can slightly identify with that? Yeah, there is. And if there aren't people in your life that know the do's that you haven't done and the do's that you have done, that you're not in real relationship. And that's not something that can happen digitally. That happens over months, years, maybe even decades, white of eyes on white of eyes. Okay? I mean, there are people who know the worst things about me. There aren't many. No, that's not true. I thought, why they believe that? No, I mean, they were the worst, you know, just the worst things about me. They don't put me on a pedestal or anything like that because they know the good that I know sometimes I haven't done. And you got to have that. That can't happen digitally, okay? Number three. Soft conversations can happen digitally. Good morning. Hope you're having a good day. But hard conversation should only happen in person. Is this one violated digitally online or what? Do not try to say hard things. Texting, online, post. Don't do that. Just trust me. Don't do it. Because there's so much missed in hard conversations that have to take place. When they're not taking place, and I can see facial expression, I can hear tone of voice. And this is a real big one, friends. I mean, I know I talked about this a little bit last week, but this is where the unbelievable potential of technology is being abused, where we kind of skirt around the difficulty of seeing someone face to face, and we just send it out there. Don't do that. Don't do that. Soft conversations, that's the realm of digital. Expedience and efficiency, that's wonderful, isn't it? I mean, just, you know, like encouraging people, stuff like that. I mean, it's like there's just so much good that can happen, right? I've told you, I love Instagram because I'm connecting in soft conversations with my family and friends and such. But hard conversations should only happen in person. So look at this. Matthew 18:15. Again, Jesus said, if your brother, your sister sins against you, you go and you text them angry words. Is that what he says? No, you go and you point out their fault. Say it with me. Just between the two of you. Just between the two of you. You go and you start in love. You clean that up. Digital communication is not the way to do that. It's not the way to do that. Okay, here's the next one. Number four. Counsel can happen digitally. Like you can give advice and you can give tips and you can do things, you exchange ideas. I mean, I think that can happen. That's, again, a wonderful efficiency of digital communication. But confession must happen in person. And I get real uncomfortable when people share their struggles for the whole world to see, and they're not sharing that with someone in front of them that's hearing that communication and communicating grace back. And I had a family member a while back that shared her marital struggles on Facebook. Oh. Number one, that's not going to help. Right? It's not going to help. But number two, don't let students, listen to me. Don't let digital communication rob you of the joy of saying, I did this. And you see back grace and forgiveness. You see in the flesh someone who says, that hurt. But let's walk through this together. Or that probably hurt that friend that you did that to. But let me tell you, let me remind you again of God's promises. James 5:16, look at these words. It says, you know, let's do this. It says, confess your sins to each other. That's where the confessional booth originally started, is the power of when you do that and you pray for each other, there's healing that takes place. The kindness of God leads people to repentance. And when that kindness gets communicated by way of a friend who communicates grace, it's huge. And again, this goes back to vulnerability and it connects to that, doesn't it? But don't let digital skimming rob you of the power of being in the kind of relationships that take years to build, where there is confession that happens. Because if you don't have a place to truly dump your junk in a way that then you get back truth and grace, that junk is just going to add up. And the phone is not a good place to store that junk. Okay? Deal? Here's the last one. Records can happen digitally. In other words, this thing literally is a digital record of people unfriending you. Like, you now can have records of people's offenses against you. It's amazing. So that can happen. Love does not keep records of wrongs, but your phone does. But reconciliation can only happen in person. So you may send a communication, a post, I am so sorry. And there's nothing wrong with that. But what's better is, I was wrong, I'm sorry, in person. In person. Because this goes beyond confession. I did something wrong. Let me see grace. This is to the point where in relationship, I wronged you. And then you see that reconciliation can happen. You begin to see that we can forgive each other. Listen to me, friends. Listen to me. The only thing that sets Christianity apart from every other religion in the world is grace. That's it. The ability in interpersonal relationships to forgive each other. That sets Christianity apart from every other faith in the world. And in the church, it's been so easy to sort of hide behind self-righteousness and not work interpersonally, eye to eye, heart to heart with, let's work through some hard conversation and let's reconcile. I have some of the closest friends in my life, people I love, and I know they would give their life for me and I for them. And a few years ago, the disagreement between us was so great, I came this close to leaving our church. I mean, I just came this close to saying, I'm done. But we said, we are not going to let go. We are not going to let go. We are not going to do this. And I'll just tell you, friends, I'm qualified to tell you this, because here's this person who, if I had never had Jesus in church, I would have just said, move on. who needs to burn energy in this relationship that's hard? And because Jesus will not let you off the hook on this one. He will not let you off the hook when it comes to doing your part to try to reconcile. Doing your part. He won't let you off the hook. You cannot separate reconciliation from your reconciliation with God. The God who graced you now says that you, in turn, you give grace. And I'll tell you this today. One of them is in this room right now, and he knows this. We have cried with each other. We have wept with each other. And we are growing old together, friends, because evil didn't win. Evil didn't win. And I'm telling you, for both of us, years ago, it would have won. It would have won. And this can't happen digitally. And our digital shallowness is now getting in the way of let's do the hard work of sit eye to eye, knee to knee if we have to, and speak the truth in love, and let's work out this grace. Remember Peter, he comes to Jesus and he says, "Hey Lord, my brother offends me. How many times do I have to forgive my brother?" Now the rabbi said you only need to have to forgive someone 3 times. And then after that, you're off the hook. So Peter, look what he does. "How many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me?" 7 times? You know, he doubles it and adds one and says, "You know, I'm a pretty good guy, Jesus. I'm going to go double the rabbis, add one." And Jesus answered, "I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. And it's not literally 77 times. He said, "I'm telling you, Peter, it's going to be a part of who you are. You cannot escape God's relationship with you and your relationship with people. And this can't happen digitally. It has to happen with the two words of our message tonight. Somebody ask you what it's about tonight? In person. In person. Say it with me. In person. Okay? In person. This is so cool because our faith is not the result of a text message. God could have said, "Here's my book. Read it. Do what it says. This is my text message to humanity." And I would not be a believer. I don't think that would have been enough for me. Been too many times in my life where slaughtering Canaanites would have messed me up, man. I mean, does anybody else have questions about those things? Yeah, just text message would have done it. But he came in person. And that guy is the key to this world saving itself from itself. That guy who came is the key to my life being saved. I live like Jesus, I'll live forever. Anybody want that? That has to happen because you let him come to you. Say it with me. In person. Amen. Well, next week we are going to talk about something, and that is the high cost of serving, surfing. So do not miss next week. It's a really big deal. Because back when I was in high school, you know, if we had found a page from Penthouse, it was like bread being passed around beggars. Right? I mean, you know, like you mix that with boys' hormones and that, well, that those days are done. Because now you got your phone. And we're going to deal with this next week. So next week is PG-13. Do not miss it though, because we are very much in connection with Triple X Church. We are a part of confronting in an era where, no kidding, in one poll, a certain age group believes that it's worse to not recycle than it is to use porn. So that's the era we're living in now. And we're going to talk about what it really does to you spiritually. And so you won't want to miss it. But tonight, you get to take a tour. Everybody up for that? Cookies tonight, Bill's Donuts tomorrow. So if you like cookies, come tonight. If you like Bill's Donuts, come back tomorrow. Okay? All right? Yeah, yeah. And we're going to put Bill's Donuts up here for the communion bread tomorrow. No, we're not going to do that. Let's pray. Let's stand and pray. Father, we cannot become better in our spiritual walk, healthier, without growing in emotional intelligence and relational skills. It just cannot happen. And so this little primer tonight, I pray that we have written stuff down, we take it seriously, that there are some wonderful things we can do digitally. Great. Efficiencies. There are some things that have to happen in person. May we do them. Thank you that you just didn't send us a 66 chapter text. You sent us yourself. You have modeled for us making yourself vulnerable. No one took your life from you. You laid it down of your own accord. You made yourself. You gave your life. And now we follow you because that's the hope of our world. It's the hope of our marriages. It's the hope of our friendships. On and on and on. And everybody who agreed with that said, amen. See you next week, everybody.